doses.
Self-help from the hip.
Small doses.
We're talking that shit.
Small doses.
And keeping it real.
Small doses.
With me and them seals.
It's so funky.
It's time for the most personal episode ever.
Side effects of my anxiety.
We're doing side effects of my anxiety because I don't consider myself a professional, so I don't want to talk about your anxiety and give you the wrong information. But I can talk about mine. And I'm actually recording this. And we decided to do this episode because my anxiety is like on full tilt today. Okay? I am leaned like a Chevy in three-wheel motion today. And so we were like, you know what? Let's just lean into that. Let's just dive further into the crevasse. Which, by the way, is one of my favorite episodes of 30 Rock. So look that up. But yeah, I got to get a new therapist. So in the meantime, this podcast will be my therapist. I essentially will therapist myself over the course of this episode. And we've got some DMTs from y'all. Nothing's changed. We have a gem dropping, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'm just in shambles today. Gem dropping. Gem dropping. Gem dropping. We're dropping on these hoes. Gotta keep it real with yourself. Gem dropping, let's drop these gems. Anxiety versus fear. Now, I want to keep reiterating to you all that I am simply speaking about how this anxiety exists in Amanda Seals' world. If you relate to it, then you relate to it. But I want to make it explicitly clear that I do not consider myself to be an expert, a medical professional, or anyone with even like supreme knowledge of anxiety and managing it. But I do know myself and I do know what I deal with. And I feel like a lot of times you can help, you know, kind of give other people a frame of reference based on what you're going through. So this is also, you know, just really about like putting things into perspective that sometimes just are better, for the most part, things are way better dealt with when they're verbalized than just in your head, especially when you're dealing with anxiety. Now, for me, I have anxiety, but then I'm a human, so I also have fear, right? And some people might say, like, well, what's the difference? And I think for me, the difference is not that far cry. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think there's such a big difference, like, you know, we've discussed in the past, like arrogance versus confidence or extra versus extrovert. You know, like those things I feel like have like real clear delineations on other sides of the spectrum that people may not notice. But with fear and anxiety, they live very, very close together. But it's always important for me to notice the difference because it determines how I manage it. Right? Sometimes I have anxiety, which is literally just like existing outside of my consciousness. Like I don't even know what's causing it. Like my body is just tense. I have a headache. I'm kind of swimming in like a fishbowl and I don't really know what it's attached to. I mean, I'll just get it sometimes. Maybe I'm like, is the barometric pressure too high today or something? Like, is there something in the stars that I don't know about? Like, is there an earthquake coming? Like, sometimes I just don't know. And nothing, in those situations, like, nothing even really, like, proves it. You know, it's just like, it is what it is. And my work in those moments is figuring out how to not let it get me stuck, you know, how to not let it paralyze me. And then you have like fear-induced anxiety, which is just like, it can be something as basic as like, oh, I'm going to an audition that I really, really want. And I'm just like, kind of like tensing up, you know? And it that's always interesting because I have been auditioning forever. So like, it's not like I really get nervous, but that's just my subconscious being like, bitch, you really want this. You really want this. And we'll talk about that during that one time. But also it's like fear, you know, in relationships. Like I have really super duper duper anxiety when it comes to relationships because I've been through a lot of fuckery. So, and I don't want to make the same mistakes twice. So the anxiety is not just in fear of like, oh, I don't want to get played or I don't want to get disrespected or I don't want to like walk into a whack situation. But it's also a fear that I put on myself. Like I don't want to disappoint myself. Right. And so like in managing that, you have to like get back from it. And it can be a very like difficult thing to do to like step away from that. Because if you are also a very highly aware person like myself, you're doing so much processing. And sometimes I feel like what anxiety is for me is like my computer, just my RAM being overloaded with trying to process a lot of information at one time. And it
slows me down.
And in those moments, it's like, I got to take a nap. You know, like I've been yawning all day just because I have anxiety. So it's like my body is literally like processing. I'm combusting like emotionally right now, even though I'm not working out or I'm not like, but my body is like combusting, like energy is actually being used. And so I'm tired, even though it doesn't seem like I'm doing anything like manual labor, I'm doing mental labor, you know? And I think for a lot of folks, like that anxiety plays out in those ways, but it just kind of manifests itself differently. I know for some people, anxiety manifests itself in like blowing up, you know, for like no reason. We've talked about that on like side effects of being outspoken, you know, like just like you have just kind of kept things in for a certain amount of time, then eventually it just kind of explodes. You know, for some people, it's like in just going the exact opposite. It's just like a full shutdown of just like silence. Do, 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 do. You know, it's like a decommissioned Autobot. It's like seeing the lights go out behind Optimus Prime's eyes. No one likes it. Or that time. Oh, that time in Rogue One when the droid died. Or that time in Solo when that other droid died. Anytime a droid dies, it hurts me. But I feel like that's like, like what your anxiety is, because like you're like a machine and it's just like you're just like, it's like your wiring just gets overpowered, you know, it just heats up and it just shuts the fuck down. And for me, like that manifests in a couple of ways. Sometimes it manifests in just me being like tired or just like not inspired, like not wanting to be productive. And I don't have time to not be productive. So that's why it's like, when it comes to like relationships and how they inspire a certain level of anxiety and a certain level of fear for me, I have to be very cognizant of understanding that like if I want to be productive and I want to be on point, then I have to like, or only involve myself in relationships that alleviate, you know, that anxiety as best as possible. Because some of it is, it's just a lot of it is not even, it has nothing to do with the person. I mean, it's just my own shit. And the more that you are getting to know somebody, the more of their shit that you know. So then you're not even dealing with just your shit. You're dealing with they shit and having to process it. And it's like the work for me has become like, how do I improve my processor? How do I streamline my RAM to handle information in a quicker way without it expelling so much energy? And I think a big part of that is going to therapy, talking to friends, writing my thoughts down, and also simply just like, being like, you know what? Whatever. Sometimes you just got to do a big whatever, like, and just be like, whatever. Like, just, and remember, you know, like, I'll just be like, Amanda, everything is everything. It all happens the way it's supposed to. You can combust your brain all you want, but at the end of the day, you're going to make the right decision because you think from a place of goodness. So anxiety, sometimes I just don't know where it comes from. I can't control it in terms of it arriving. But once it gets there, I have to figure out ways to manage it because it's just like what it is. But then fear is something that we all have, but we also have to control that. And controlling fear can be a very difficult thing when you have a lot of information on why you should be scared. Brandon said that was a terrifying way to end gem dropping, but it's real. It's real. Like you're, you know, like fear, even if the fears that you have are not related to like that specific situation, like if you've been through something, like then it's still real. The possibility is still real for you, you know? And the realities is that if you're dealing with anything that deals with humans, whether it's in a workspace or a professional space and you have anxiety around that, listen, humans are the most unreliable people ever. At least with animals, like, you know, this motherfucker might kill me. You always know that. With humans, you're like, I don't know if this person will kill me. They might try and ruin my life, though. You know, there's such a variable. You know, like, I know, like, Lando, my cat Lando, I know the schematics of the situation. You know, for the most part, he likes certain things. You know, he likes his little treats. When I walk into the kitchen, he's going to meow for that. He does not like his litter box to be dirty at all. He will absolutely let you know, I just took a shit. Handle that, Amanda. And if he feels like you've been out of town too long, he will 1,000% pee on your shoes in the closet or shit somewhere where you don't know it is until you do. So it's like that. With humans, it just seems like you just never truly know, like, what things could be and how they can manifest. And so for me, I think I find a lot of anxiety in just the unknown, you know, and I know a lot of people do as well. Like, it may not necessarily be like fear in terms of like, I don't want to go forth, but it's just this inherent feeling of like, especially if you're someone who's like very in control of your life. You know, if you're an independent person who has like a lot of control over like your destiny and shit, when you're in situations where you don't have that, it can feel, oh my God, just, it can just feel like you are swimming. And so the work I know that I've had to do is like trying to decide, like, when is it time for you to be like, no, and step away? And when do you have to just kind of like give into the possibility that it could go in a different direction than you thought? And that, my friends, is a completely gridless concept. You know, I mean, there's no true logic or rationale other than just like, I guess, like your gut. You know, what do your instincts say? And that's when you have to get still and quiet and meditate. And so a lot of times I find myself just doing a lot of talking, and then I just get really like quiet. And then 9 times out of 10, the situation works itself out. It doesn't even have anything to fucking do with you. It just does it. But the anxiety is something that I deal with regardless of whether I know that or not. The anxiety is going to happen because I'm an aware person in a world that is continuously moving. Do you ever tell yourself, just chill, you wildin' right now? Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, so I was telling a friend of mine that I was dating somebody, and like, we speak every day, and I was dating them for like 2 months, and then like one day I just like didn't hear from them all day. And I was kind of in my head about it, like, well, what is this really about? And I started projecting like my past relationships onto this new one, and just like really like got in my head, like, what if they are this, that, and the third, or they're doing this, that, and the third? And I think in the past, what I would have done is I would have written them what I was thinking. But I realized, like, they don't need to know the raw uncut. Like, perhaps I need to take care of my own emotions before I involve someone else in them. This is what you call growth. So what I did was I wrote down my thoughts, and I was able to look at my crazy. And I was like, oh, wow. And it's, I don't say crazy in terms of, like, it not being valid. It's just that it's coming from a place that's just not rational, because it's not attached to like the actual actions being done. It's just going on in your head. And so that's like part of also like working through your anxiety. Like, is this attached to something real that is being hit, that is being triggered by behaviors? Or is this attached to something that has taken place in the past that is being triggered by fear in a different way? And when you can delineate that, it helps you out, by the way, because it helps you be rooted in fact. And fact always will inspire confidence. And confidence will always alleviate fear. And fear is the root of anxiety, at least for me. So, long story short, I wrote it out, and I was able to send the person a text that didn't include any of my mania. It didn't include any of my cray-cray. And it still got across like what I wanted to say, which was, hey, I haven't heard from you all day. It's the first time. Hope you're good. Travel safe. And then 3 hours later, they texted me back and were like, hey, I was on a plane for a long time. And I was like, oh, I thought you were leaving tomorrow. And they're like, no, the plans were all fucked up, but I'm back now. So here I was, like, writing a Jane Austen novel. No, an Emily Bronte novel. And this person was simply just on a plane, flying from a place that had no Wi-Fi. And so in those moments, you're very encouraged, actually, in those moments, because it lets you know that, like, you're dealing with your anxiety better, but also it lets you know that, like, sometimes this shit really isn't real. Like, and so that can be a very big comfort, because when you get anxiety all the time, it feels very, and you get paranoid, that's just a lot. So sometimes I have to tell myself, like, yo, chill out. You wildin'. Because I've written it down, I've looked at the schematics, and it just ain't adding up to the actual fear that I've created. You wildin'. Next question. Are you able to preempt what could cause you anxiety, like, I'm not doing this, or I'm not engaging with this person, or I'm not responding to that, because it will set my anxiety off? Yes, I mean, I definitely feel like, especially in, like, the dating space, like, there's just certain people where I'm just like, oh, we can't, nah, this isn't going to work for me, because you do things that are going to continuously give me anxiety, and it's not healthy for me. You know, like, people who, like, don't call back, or, like, are really bad with communication, I can't date you, because that just gives me anxiety. It gives me angina. You know what I'm saying? So, like, there's that. If I see that somebody's just, like, mentally not in a space to be able to, like, have a real exchange with me, I'm just like, I can't really, like, do that with you, you know? I think also, like, in the workspace, I don't get anxiety per se. But I try not to put myself in situations where I feel like I'm going to have to be looking over my shoulder, you know, or where I feel like I'm going to have to be, like, just hyper aware, you know, because of trust, or because of, you know, just an unclarity about who I'm working with, you know, that always is never fun. You know, like, you don't want to feel like you're going to work having to really, like, oh man, what are these people really about? You know, what do they stand for, et cetera. Like, that's no fun. So I really tried to, like, preempt by really vetting, like, where I'm going and who's going to be there and where the setup is and what am I going to be doing. And as I've gotten more known in this industry, like, I definitely have a lot easier time with being able to ask those questions. And I feel like there's actually even more effort put into alleviating those things. But I mean, you never really know. I mean, you do all that work and you still get there and shit ain't set up. And it's like, damn, I did all this work to preempt this. And I get here and y'all got me tense. But I also have a sixth sense. And, you know, some people listening might not believe this or what, but I have a sixth sense where my neck burns typically, like, within 30 minutes of an obstacle of some sort. So it'll either be like an obstacle, like, you know, my car won't start, or there's traffic, or, like, I always know when my flight is delayed, at least 30 minutes before it's delayed, like, without fail. Or it'll be like an argument. Like, I'll know that, like, an argument is going to happen. And, like, or, like, a screw up. Now, the thing is that I used to think that sixth sense was telling me that a conflict was coming. And so just be aware. Now what I've come to understand is it's literally alerting me here, like, danger, Will Robinson. You have the opportunity to curtail this. Check on your things. Perfect example is, like, the morning if I wake up with my neck burning, that means that, like, a big fuck up is going to happen. Like, that means that, like, either someone very important to me is going to disappoint me, or that, like, something that I am supposed to do is going to get canceled, or that that, like, something that I think is not actually what it is. Case in point, the day of my husband on TV, Wade Elaine Marcus's wedding, Wade got married in Mexico. And so there was a shuttle that we were taking to Mexico from his mom's house. And I had researched and did all the research, and the shuttle was leaving at noon. I woke up that day and my neck was burning. And I was like, why is my neck burning? Huh. I don't know. So I still went about my day. And me and my friend Emily, you know, we went to Gelson's and picked up some snacks. And we came back and we're literally just chilling in the house. And Wade texts me and is like, hey, where are you guys at? The shuttle's leaving. It's 10:50. I'm like, well, the shuttle's leaving at noon. He's like, no, it's leaving at 10:30. What? So I scramble. We get in an Uber. We go to his mom's house. On the way, I'm looking at the invite. It says very clearly that the shuttle is leaving at 10:30. But I had gleaned that the return information that it was returning at noon. And so I had put that in my brain. So when I woke up that morning and my neck was burning to tell me, like, bitch, the plans that you think you have for today are wrong. You need to revisit them. And it never fails, y'all. It never fails. Anytime I have a big meeting and I wake up in the morning and my neck is burning, I know that that meeting is going to be canceled. Anytime I want to have like a real conversation with somebody, I wake up and my neck is burning. It's letting me know, bitch, you ain't having that conversation today. Shake it off. So this is like a psychic thing. And part of my anxiety is just that I be knowing. When y'all hear me say I be knowing, it's not just simply like I have intuition. I literally be knowing. And that shit is so fucking irritating. And the only time that it's actually not irritating is when someone proves me wrong. And that is exciting. And when I get proved wrong, I'm just like, well, that's why I have to be careful with the preempting. Because, you know, you can kind of like cancel yourself of blessings is what I think sometimes. Because sometimes the preempting is also you like making a decision out of fear. And you should never make decisions out of fear. So, you know, I really work hard to make decisions based on the facts that have been shown to me, not based on my anxiety. And it's all a work in progress. You guys, this is the realest episode we've ever done. Wouldn't you say, Brendan? Brendan's shaking his head, yes. I'm over here just lying out on a futon, just talking to you guys. Do you get anxiety when your peers, superiors, etc. are stressed? If so, how do you handle secondhand stress? Well, I'm an empath. I'm somebody who takes in energies. So I feel like that's kind of like a given for me. Like I just kind of like take on other people's energy. Like I can tell when someone's stressed. I can tell when someone's like out of sorts or awkward. I would say it's probably the strongest with my mom and with someone that I'm dating. That's why I have to be very careful about who I date, because if they are in a place of chaos, I'm going to feel it. I'm going to feel all that chaos. And if they're unable to like be respectful of that, then it's like, it's not manageable. You know, so that's why it's like, you try to kind of surround yourself with friends and with people who, have a certain level of solidity about them, because if you're somebody who takes in energy, then you want people to have like the cleanest energy as possible, because you don't want to have to keep cleaning that shit out, you know? So I wouldn't say that I take in like my peers' energy so much. I guess I would say that it's more so that I've gotten really good at not necessarily taking it in, but feeling it and being able to like be a friend to it. You know, or be a sounding board to it. I'm getting much better at that. But it's a process. All of this is really, because I think that when I was, you know, coming up, I just would receive everything, you know, and you're just like a receiver. I mean, I felt like Jean Grey, you know, at a certain point, you're just like, oh my God, like I'm receiving everything. All I can do at this point is turn into the fucking phoenix and then burst the dam. And then, you know, come back as the new Jean Grey and terrorize everybody. Nobody wants that, right? So I don't think I'd necessarily take in other people's stress as much as I do like my mom or the person I'm seeing. And even with that, I've had to get very conscious about, I guess they call it individualizing. And that's basically just like stepping out of their storm. And being able to be like, you in the storm, but I'm on the porch. Next question. How do you handle stress or anxiety around starting a new creative project when you are in between creative processes like Insecure and SFB, and when you feel inclined to start your own original processes like you did with Small Doses, if those things give you anxiety? I kind of actually don't get anxiety from that stuff. That stuff gives me freedom. It's interesting. Like, the creative space is really where, like, I am living just in my best self and my most peaceful self, like creating and putting stuff out, you know, where that gives a lot of people pause and nervousness because they feel like they're exposing themselves. It doesn't give me anxiety. I would say the biggest anxiety that I used to get was from the downtime between those things. Like, downtime used to really fuck with me. And I would tell, like, when I had an agent and a manager that I were finally, like, working with, I'm like, we need to prevent me from having downtime. Because when I have downtime, I start to get in my head. And, you know, an idle mind is the devil's playground. And it's just not good for anybody. You know, that's the fuckery about writing a book. Writing a book is just like downtime, but you're writing. I mean, and that is, it drives you kind of batty. That, ask any of these authors that, you know, I mean, just shit. Hemingway was like, I'm out. I'm out. I done it. Gotta go. Because you're just so cerebral that it takes you out the game sometimes, you know? So, but that being said, no, I don't really have anxiety about those projects. It's like, that's actually what alleviates my anxiety. I am at my best when I get to create and when I'm enveloped in something that is using all of my auditory, all of my senses, you know, auditory, visual, kinetic, just all my elements. Like, that's when I am just thriving, honey. And, I seek to find that in my personal life, like to be able to find that level of freedom in my exchange with humans. I don't think it will ever happen, however. All right, last question. I am a Cancer, so I love my show. Whenever I go where there's crowds, I always get anxiety, especially if I'm meeting new people. I sometimes can't speak or find words to make conversation. And it's especially worse when surrounded by people. Do you experience anxiety in large crowds or meeting people for the first time? How do you deal with that kind of anxiety, especially in the moment? I play Candy Crush, if I'm being perfectly honest. I don't like crowds either. Like, people are like, why don't you go to Grenada and play Mass and do Carnival? And it's like, ugh, that's a lot of people. You know, after shows, like, I have to really kind of like clear my head because I know that I'm going to interact with like a lot of people, a lot of strangers, a lot of folks that I am not strange to them. So for them, there's going to be a certain level of overfamiliarity where they're going to want to hug and they're going to want to like kiss on the cheek. They're going to want to hold hands and, you know, shake hands and take pictures and all this stuff. And you're just like, so I just try to breathe. Really just try to breathe. And, not overthink. When I go to events where I have to mingle, it is torture. And I know people look at me and they're like, you're so social though. Like, you're such an extrovert. And I'm like, nah. I mean, I am somebody who knows how to be social if I'm in a comfortable space. But if I'm not in a comfortable space, then it's like, I don't really kind of know how to interact. I was seeing somebody once and we went to like this like family affair that they had. And I really didn't know his family like that. You know, like I had met his mom, but I didn't know his like family. And this was like his sister's graduation party. So we got there early and like, I'm just trying to like, my way of trying to deal with situations like that is like offer help. So like, how can I make myself useful? Cause that way it's like, at least I'm doing something, but I get to be isolated. So that's why like with parties, you'll see me like DJing because I'm there. I'm being a partner. I'm being a part of this, but I'm still like in my own space because I can control my own space. Brandon is shaking his head like vehemently because like it's so real, like the just introvert of it all. You're just like, I'm here, but I'm over here though. And so, you know, when we were at the house, like I was trying to help and, you know, but like no one like made an effort to like integrate me into the space, right? Like no one like made an effort to be like, oh, so Amanda, blah, 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 blah. And listen, if you don't do that with me, I'm stuck. I'm not the person who's like walking up to you like, so like, how's the weather been? You know, like I'm not the person who's like, you know, what about these Lakers? LeBron's coming to, that's great, huh? You heard they just signed Rondo. Like, I'm just never been that person. I know people feel like because I'm a performer that I am, but I genuinely am not. So when it does, when I do find myself in that situation, I was at his house and the family was there. Like, I just kind of like did my task and then kind of like waited for the opportunity to like offer myself up for another task. And that was how I was managing it. But at the end of the evening, I ended up getting attacked by him and his sister. Cause they were like, you just been keeping to yourself all day. And like, you don't want to talk to nobody. You think you're better than everybody. And I'm just like, what? Like, they just assigned like all of this ire to me. And it was really just like, I have social anxiety. Like, I'm in this, when I'm in a situation around a bunch of people that know each other, I'm uncomfortable. That's why I don't like weddings. I'm done going to weddings. I don't like the shit. Because I'm friends with the person, but a lot of times, like, we have a certain isolated friendship, you know, where like they may know my friends. I may know a couple of their friends, but I don't know like their whole scheme of family or whatever. And so I always feel like there's a certain level of imposter syndrome in those situations. Where I'm like, I'm here and I like, I love you. But like, it just seems like these people like know you more. They have more insight. And you know, at weddings, I feel like a lot of times families be trying to like vie for like who's more important in the family, like who's more valuable or whatever. I can't take it. Like, you know, I just feel like, ah, I'm uncomfortable, you know? But then I was dating somebody who it was like, we went to an event and at the event, we went to like a graduation party. Damn, yeah, it was another graduation party. This other person I was seeing, we went to a graduation party with them. And it was like a business partner of his. And like it was his daughter's graduation party. But the person I was with knew everybody there. So he was completely comfortable, you know, and we were new in our dating. So like, it wasn't like, you know, they knew of me or like they knew that he had a girl or whatever. So I'm just there with him. And this is another situation where it's like, everybody knows each other. I don't know anybody. I'm not going to just go sit at someone's table and be like, you want to play Uno? What are your rules? Like, you know, do you do it? Can you put down a draw two after a draw four? What are your rules? And so I was very much like kind of standoffish. And I ended up just like sitting kind of like by myself and reading a script. And I will always be appreciative to him for how he handled this, because he could have been like the other person I had dated and like chastised me for like being by myself. Instead, he came over and was like, are you good? And I was like, yeah. And he like gave me a kiss and he was like, you want a taco or anything? And I was like, no. I was like, yeah. He's like, oh, I'm gonna get you a taco. This nigga went and got me a taco, brought me the taco, and went back to talking to people. But it was like he respected that, like, I'm not trying to disrespect anybody. Like, I'm just over here, you know, because this is what's comfortable for me. Over here is comfortable for me. And when it was time to go, because we had already discussed what time we were leaving, I sent him a text like, hey, are you ready? And he's like, yep. And we bounced. So, you know, it's like you just try to manage your best way that you can. And it's great when you have people that understand that you're trying to manage the best way that you can. But crowds, especially with like what's been going on in our world these days with all the mass shootings and the terrorist attacks, like it's even more scary to be in a crowd. You know, it's even more like daunting to consider that like there's all these people here and you don't know who they are, what they're about, and anything could happen. Like, that's a real genuine feeling to have. I mean, even if you haven't been in the situation, there's a certain level of PTSD associated with the fact that you know it has happened plenty of times and there's no reason that it couldn't happen to you. That's real. Like, that's real. Don't ever let anybody make you feel like that's not real, you know? But even aside from that, it's just that the unknown is anxiety inducing and crowds represent the unknown. It's a bunch of motherfuckers you don't know. So I absolutely hear you with that. And I am 1000% in it. And I, a lot of times, can't even avoid it by the nature of my career. I just got to stick it out. And the way that I manage it is by breathing, by trying to have people around me that I do know that can like kind of be like a a point of safety. You know, even if they're not standing right next to me, I can see them across the room and be able to have, like, you know, these tent poles of security. Not like security, like with a badge or whatever, but security in terms of, like, they make me feel secure. And I also just, like, try to encourage myself to, at the very least, if I'm not the one who's sparking the conversation, be receptive when the conversation is sparked with me. You know, and let that be a gateway into a certain level of comfortability. You know, I think that's how we all ended up getting friends at camp, right? You just kind of show up, your mom drops you off, and you're just like, I hate you and everything you stand for, and I don't want to be here, and now I got to figure out who these people are. And you just kind of plant yourself by the Barbies, you know, you kind of plant yourself by the fucking macaroni art station, and you just wait for somebody to be like, what's your name? Little do they know, they're now your best friend.
People I like. Yeah.
Before we get into people I like, let me just shout out all my cancers. All my cancers celebrating their birthdays this month. We got Melanie Fiona. We got my homegirl Allison Faircloth. We got my agent, Sam Bringardner. We got Demetria Lucas. We got my homegirl, Maite. We got my other homegirl, Emily. We got Emmy Award-winning producer, Jimmy Fox. We got 50 Cent. I mean, the cancer game is like super deep, super duper deep. And if I did not mention your name, it does not mean that I do not respect you as a part of our cancer community. I mean, I can come up with some more. Cree Summer, you know, she's a heavy in the cancer game. It doesn't mean that I don't respect you as a member of our cancer community. It's just that, like, there's so many of us that we are number in such dopeness that I sometimes just, you know, can't keep all of the dopeness in my mind at one time. So I apologize. But one of the illest cancers out here, and someone who's always been like a big supporter of mine, is Charlemagne the God, who is a full cancer and who is somebody who has actually, you know, really dealt with anxiety. And his new book, Shook One, which is coming out soon and you can pre-order it as of right now, is all about anxiety and him dealing with anxiety and PTSD and trauma and the beauty of, like, how therapy has helped him to handle that. And I think, like, him being very vocal about this, especially as a Black man, especially as a Black man from the South, especially as a Black man from the hood, is incredibly important, because so many of our brothers just don't feel like dealing with this is something necessary, because they've almost come to feel like it's just a necessary part of life. Like, they just take it as like it's a rite of passage. They take it as like it's a part of being a Black man that you're going to have to deal with these things. And I think what Charlemagne did in terms of, like, this book and being able to be very vocal about his anxiety and his PTSD, he makes it more accessible for people to understand that, like, no, you don't have to live with that every day. No, you don't have to figure out how to ignore panic attacks. No, you have to manage these things. And you have to get to the bottom of, like, what's causing them. Like, you know, you don't have to ignore triggers. You simply don't have to be unhappy, and you don't have to have people around you that are unhappy. Like, for all intents and purposes, like, you really truly can live a more peaceful life. Like, that's a real thing that can really happen, and it's in your hands. Like, you have agency in doing that. And sometimes anxiety, especially coupled with depression, can make you think that you don't, and can make you feel like you don't have the wherewithal within you to get to a certain level of happiness. And, you know, sometimes you need to be medicated. Sometimes there's a certain regimen that you need to employ. Sometimes there's a certain diet. Sometimes there's just simply, like, just techniques, you know. But when we don't know about these things, when we don't face that these are real things that really affect us, we don't give ourselves the opportunity to gain the access to figuring out how to manage them, to have a more fulfilling, healthy quality of life. So my people I like is Charlemagne for putting out his experience in his book, Shook Ones, now available for pre-order. And, you know, of course, we're going to have him on the show at some point. And, you know, it's like, it's a different kind of me too. You know, it's like just saying like, hey, like I'm dealing with this shit too, y'all. Like you don't have to be by yourself in it. You don't have to be in your car crying by yourself thinking that no one understands you, because the reality is a lot of us are dealing with this, especially in a world right now where you just never know what you're going to turn on your TV and see. You know, so anxiety and just being in a certain level of high strungness like is a state of life and being for a lot of people, and it causes a lot of stress and it causes health problems. And when we are able to face it, we give ourselves a better shot at not having to deal with the byproducts of it.
That one time.
So I absolutely have had to deal with anxiety like in the professional space. And I mentioned earlier that I would talk about it. So when I auditioned for Insecure, the first time I just went in, like it was the first time auditioning. And so I didn't have any like expectations, you know? So I just was like, whatever, like you go in, you do the audition, you handle it, and that's that. And I went in originally, I told the story several times. I went in originally for Tasha, but then I was like, I shouldn't be auditioning for Tasha. I ain't stacked enough for Tasha. And so the casting agent, Vicky Thomas was like, yo, you know, well, what if you read for the other role? And I was like, well, what's the other role? And it was early 30s Ivy League graduate. I'm like, oh, you mean my actual life? Got it. So, and so I basically was like, you know, I'm going to read for this. And I read for it and I went about my business. That's how you handle auditions. It only starts to get bugged out when you realize you have a shot. That's when you start tripping. So I went in for the second audition and I like wasn't even like, I don't know, guys, I wasn't worried about it or anything because I still didn't think I had a shot per se. But when I tell you I had a full anxiety attack that day, like I was just like hot in my neck and like I was getting ready to go and I was just angry and just like frustrated, like for no reason. And when I did go to the audition, I did the audition, but I was like beating up myself after. And just like, my mom was like, what is going on? And I was like, yo, I'm just like bugging out. And I realized later, like I was having an anxiety attack. Like I just was having all of these like disparate emotions happening all at one time, and I didn't have any control over them, and it was just all rooted in just like the unknown was kind of like coming up. And so I had to kind of really like take a look at that and be like, what was that really about? Because you guys, that wasn't a situation where I saw it coming. Like I didn't even have any concerns. And then all of a sudden my subconscious was just like, no, bitch, you gonna feel a way about this. So I just I pushed through, I muddled through, and then like the next audition. And let me tell you something, and I've told him this to him. Prentice Penny in an audition doesn't help your anxiety either, by the way. Prentice, like Melina be smiling and Issa be smiling, and Prentice be looking at you like, what the fuck you about to do in here, yo? And he be, and I'm just like, now that I know Prentice, like that's my buddy. Now that I know Prentice, I'm just like, I said this recently. I was like, damn nigga, like in an audition, you are the worst. He's like, what you mean? I'm just there. I'm just perusing the talent. I'm like, fuck out of here, dog. Like you are the scariest face in front of me. So that was like a very kind of like shocking experience for me in terms of like anxiety coming up in my work. Because it just hasn't before, you know, in a long time. Like I had an anxiety attack in a FedEx parking lot when I was moving to LA, because some like randomly I was just like, oh my God, like what if I'm not supposed to move here? And what if we would, up until that point, nothing. Up until that point, I was smooth sailing. I'm organizing shit. I'm calling movers. You know what I'm saying? I'm on Zillow, Trulia, Westside Rentals. I'm handling business. But once it was all handled, that's when it hit me. And it was just like, and I mean, it was just a doozy. So, you know, when it comes to Smart, Funny, and Black, it's like, I'm pretty sure I'm cruising for a bruising with this tour, because I'm just doing everything and doing so much. And even though I have some help that in a big way, there's still so much that's on my shoulders. And then I'm going to have to actually do the shows. And, you know, the managing of that mentally is like not something to shake a stick at, you know, shake, 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 shake your stick at. So I absolutely have to like really get a handle on that before it really comes through. And, you know, just seeing you guys buy tickets to the shows has absolutely 1000% helped alleviate my anxiety. I ain't gonna lie to you. Like that right there has been very helpful. Very, very helpful. But it still doesn't take away the reality that I want to do the best shows possible for y'all. You know, I want to have the best experience for you all and for myself and for my crew. So, you know, but I just wanted to share with you all that story about Insecure, because I think that a lot of people feel like you just get these roles and you're just like very carefree and it's like whatever. And it's like, nah, like there's stuff that happens that you didn't even see coming. So then I went in for the third audition and I was fine. When I went in for the third audition, I was fine. Then I went in for the fourth audition. And the fourth audition was a chemistry test. And it was like me and three other women, one of which became like my real homie. Shout out to Tummy Trucks, y'all. And then there was like a couple of dudes there. And I remember Wade was sitting there and I came in. I was like taking my shoes off because I was like, when I go to the Sony lot, like you always know you're going to have to walk a distance to wherever you're going. So I come in flats and carry my heels. And so I was like changing my shoes and he was just like saying something. And I remember just being like, nigga, what are you talking about? And he was like, and it was that day that I knew that we'd be cool. We'd be cool. But, you know, I had like another just kind of like moment of anxiety because I was sitting outside the audition room and Robin Thede was there and she went in and everyone in the room was like, how was that there? I mean, it was like a family reunion. I swore they were about to break out into the wobble. And I'm sitting outside the door like, what am I even going in here for? Like, she got it sewn up because they all know each other, you know? And, you know, when I came in, I mean, it was a warm greeting, but it wasn't by any means like familiar. Even though I knew Issa, I didn't really know anybody else. But nonetheless, like I still gave it my all. And, you know, it just really like goes to show that, you know, you can't give up before you get in. Right. Because, yes, like Robin knew everybody. But, you know, it just turned out that was my day to get the part. And it didn't. It was less about, you know, all the extraneous shit that I worked out in my head. And it was simply just about like, does this fit for what they're doing? And sometimes with anxiety, we can work out all this shit in our heads that we think makes the perfect sense. And it ain't got nothing to do with the reality of the situation. Nothing. Nothing. So that's when, like the person asked in DMT, that's when you got to tell yourself, I'm wildin'. Do your best. Let the chips fall where they fall.
The last dose.
Well, I hope you guys had a good time hearing me and my mania. I feel like I got clearer. I feel like I got clearer, like just talking about this with y'all. So I thank you for giving me a platform to be able to do that. And I hope that I'm giving you all a platform to be able to, you know, ask questions that you may be like, who else do I ask this to? But overall, you know, I always suggest therapy. I suggest meditation. I suggest exercise, you know, get those endorphins released and, you know, coming up with things that, you know, make you happy. Like sometimes the best way to find those out is when you're not in an anxious moment, you know, like when you're in your best moment and you're just like, how can I bottle this and keep it for later? You know, it's like, that's when you got to remember, like, this is a place to go to. This is a space to be in when I need to get out of a dark place or when I need to get out of an anxious space. And sometimes it's a literal space, like a park or a venue of some sort, or, you know, sometimes it's being with certain people, or sometimes it's simply just like, you know, an action. Like, I know that I need to talk to this person, or I know that I need to just talk, or I need to just write, or I need to listen to this kind of music. Like when I'm going through a breakup, I only listen to salsa because it's very upbeat, but I don't know what they're saying. So there's no words that can trigger. I'll let y'all have that one.
It's a good show.